This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
You're listening to the Danny Mac Podcast on the BetRivers Network.
I'm still here. Welcome back to the Danny Mac Podcast on the BetRivers Podcast Network as we inch our way to the NFL Draft. My pleasure to have the company of a guy who's been affiliated with the Bears, not consecutively, but in his life, like 35 plus years as a player and a broadcaster, Joliet, Illinois' very own Tom Thayer is with me today. That's kind of Copic-like. That's a very warm introduction. I hope you're okay with it.
Yeah. Listen, man, I've been a part of the Bears since 1961, Danny Mac, because the year that we were born, and you really didn't have any outside opportunities to watch any other teams. So as good as they were or as bad as they were, you were going to watch the Chicago Bears. And, you know, the other night I went to a dinner with Jim Osborne, ALS, on behalf of Steve McMichael, and he was drafted by the Bears in 1972. And so we started reminiscing a little bit about some of the guys that he played with and, you know, some of the teams that he was on. But it's interesting for me because Ozzy was a guy that I had a lot of respect for and really enjoyed the type of player he was and what the reputation of the defense was of the Bears at that time. And so it was kind of, it's neat for me to be able to sit there with an ex all-star of the Bears when I was a kid and be able to talk to him.
For those of you fellow 61 babies like Tom and me, let me roll some great Bears players by you we grew up with, which is why we gravitated toward the defense. Running backs like Carl Garrett and Cyril Pinder, great guy, not very effective with the ball in his hands. Ken Granberry led the Bears in rushing 1 year before they drafted Walter Payton. So those were some lean times. I want to get to the draft, but first, and I didn't want to give you a heads up because I know I'm going to stump you on this. It's a tough question.
Okay.
What is the best trade in Bears history? I'll qualify it while you think for a second. Somebody suggested, I guess it was a week ago, a listener to Brad Biggs' Tribune column asked him if last year's flip with Carolina is the best trade in franchise history. And I kind of blew my hair back, and I'm thinking, man, if it is, they've made a shit ton of bad trades. What's the best trade you can think of the Bears have ever made?
You know, I can't think of one that could possibly be more productive than last year's trade because they did not have a bona fide number one receiver. It wasn't Darnell Mooney, so they brought in a number one receiver for the first time in quite a while outside of a guy kind of at the end of its rope like the Brandon Marshalls and so on. And then, which, you know, it wasn't predictable of what Carolina was going to do, but you had to figure with the rookie quarterback that they weren't going to set the world on fire. So you were going to have a high draft choice there. And then with the Bears getting 7 wins, that they were going to have 2 draft choices near the top, that they were going to have some maneuverability. And so, you know, with the fact of what the number one pick in the draft can do for the Bears, what the options that they're going to have at number 9, I think that probably will turn out to be the most productive draft in Bear history, because it's the new collective bargaining agreement. I think any trade that took place before the new collective bargaining agreement didn't have the benefits of this modern day agreement. So you had to get out of the Justin Fields possibility of signing him to his second contract and guaranteeing him over $200 million. You get to reset the finances of the quarterback position, bring in a guy like Keenan Allen to team up with DJ Moore. You were able to sign Cole Kmet last year. You were able to sign Jalen Johnson, Montez Sweat. So, yeah, I would think that last year's trade has the ability to be the most productive.
I don't want to spend a ton of time debating this, but here's my response to you. It's true there wasn't a consensus number one quarterback. I get the reluctance because Carolina guessed wrong on Bryce Young. Houston guessed right on C.J. Stroud. But what Houston also did was draft a pass rusher on a first-year deal in Will Anderson, the rookie of the year defensively. And they don't. The Bears are paying Montez Sweat $98 million.
Correct.
That's why I'm a little reluctant to call it a great trade, because they not only passed on Stroud, they passed on a franchise pass rusher who I think will be better than Montez Sweat will ever be.
Well, you know, now you have to think, okay, when you talk about the number nine pick this year, if they have a guy on a rookie quarterback deal and then they brought in a guy like Dallas Turner that turned out to be a double-digit complement to Montez Sweat, you're kind of evening out that production money. Yeah, mostly all of it's going to Montez Sweat, and you got a guy like Dallas Turner or Jared Vries on a rookie deal, and if they can get that double-digit production, you're talking about benefits of the trade and what you did with Montez last year.
Jared Verse, certainly a great pass rusher. There are some other ones. I got no problem if they go pass rusher at nine. There are so many great-looking, shiny new toys you look at. I mean, I think most Bears fans, Tom, have watched more pre-draft coverage this year than ever with the 1-9 and a lot of enthusiasm. I mean, right, you feel it. You talk to people. My only fear is that they don't get the best tackle if that's the way they go. I'm okay with a tackle at 9 or 10. You're going to trade down, do it a little bit, but don't trade down and get the fourth tackle available. That bothers me.
I agree with you 100%, Danny Mac. So if for me, for number 9, I would have three guys designated that if they're there, I'm going to take them. And if they're not there, I'm willing to trade down and increase my picks with a later first and hopefully a second and a third maybe, because the Bears have such a minimal amount of picks this year. But if Joe Alt was there, boom, I'm taking him. If Dallas Turner was there, boom, I'm taking him. If either Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze were there, boom, I'm taking him. And then if those guys are not there, and then I'm starting to work the phones. And also, even the first pick in the draft with Caleb, as soon as Roger Goodell says, okay, goes to the podium, gets booed, and says, okay, Chicago, you're on the clock, I'm not running to the podium. I'm going to take my full time allotted to me to see if I can work the phones a little bit more with that 9 pick instead of decreasing the amount of time I have to work the phones for that 9 pick. So I'm still going to play the game, even though I know who my guy's going to be immediately. But I'm going to try to extend my negotiating time for 9.
7 years ago, the Bears did not take a meeting with Deshaun Watson coming out of Clemson. I know this because I had to listen to Danny Parkin's bitch about it for 2 years. Are you bothered at all by the fact they didn't go to every quarterback's pro day?
Yes. I wanted Deshaun Watson back then. And I was on the pre-radio draft shows, and I said every time, if I'm looking for anybody out there, Deshaun Watson would be my guy. And probably just because of what he was able to do that season. I think in the Alabama game, they had 99 snaps in that game and was as good on one as he was on 99. Back then he was a guy that could take the physical abuse of the position and still line up. That has not shown to be true. So, yeah, I was disappointed that they didn't go out and investigate Deshaun Watson, especially what he had shown in the conference he was playing and the big games he was playing and the production that he was putting out there.
How about this year with taking a pass on Drake May?
I'm okay with that because it's either Caleb or Jaden Daniels. I would not, Drake May is would be a down-the-line guy, and the only reason I would have went to see him if I was entertaining draft or trade opportunities for the first pick in the draft, because if I knew it's going to be Caleb and I knew that my second choice was going to be Jaden Daniels, that's the exhaustive work that I would have done. And I like what the program that Jaden Daniels came to and was productive, and the head coach that he played for that he was productive with, and Brian Kelly. I like what Caleb Williams does. Rather than ejecting the pocket on the first sign of pressure, he kind of extends life for himself behind the line of scrimmage looking for a receiver. And I think that's what you want to see out of a quarterback through his college years, and hopefully that's what he's going to do as a pro. And, you know, he's not a guy that wants to run in the first sign of pressure. He's the type of guy that wants to go to the second, third opportunity.
Tom Thayer doing the college football breakdown. I love it. That's what I'm talking about with this excitement. You can't not help but soak up all the highlights and what people are saying about these guys. And if they take one of those receivers at 9, or even if they move down and they get a chance to take Malik Nabers out of LSU or Roma Dunze from Washington, is Braxton Jones good enough to be your left tackle?
Yeah, he's good enough to be my left tackle, but I'm still going to look to improve or replace him, and that's no slight to him. If he comes back and Austin Knight said, okay, when I gave you my exit interview with you last year, Braxton, I said, I want you to make strength gains. I want you to be able to be a point of attack offensive tackle. I want you to be able to anchor that left-hand side protection with a right-handed quarterback. Listen, I have no ill will against Braxton. He's a model citizen. He's a great teammate. He wants to be on the field every single day for practice. That's the type of guy that I want. But when you look at a guy like Alt, who is, you know, plays the position with balance under control. He uses his length. He's a super intelligent guy like Braxton is. He can come in there, and when you get to the first rookie mini camp that is followed by OTAs, you're going to put him at left tackle, and I guarantee you he and Darnell Wright will be there throughout the season and hopefully for the next 10 years. But, you know, Braxton Jones is probably the type of guy that, you know, you're always going to look at his study. You know, how many holding calls, how many penalties, how many sacks has he given up? And if it is a number that's kind of is concerning, then you're going to have to look to replacement. You know, it's like Dick Stanfield used to say, as long as your arrow's pointed up, I'm going to look to coach you. As soon as I see your arrow pointed down, I'm going to look to replace you. And I'm not saying that's the case with Braxton Jones. However, I need to see improvement out of him, in a short amount of time.
Yeah, I thought he had a terrific first year, and I know you did too. For a rookie to be starting at left tackle as a fifth round pick last year, not an arrow pointing up. Dick Stanfield, he was a good football player. Thayer, Colbert, Bortz, still remember. Here's another fear I have: Matt Eberflus is so afraid of his number one pick getting hurt, he barely gets him any work in those preseason scrimmages. And we saw what happens when you take off August last year, Tom, when they got their asses kicked by the Packers on opening day. That's a legitimate fear, isn't it?
Yeah, well, like all of us throughout our careers, whether we're a player or a broadcaster or a fan, you have to learn something about your team and about your preparation. I really don't think that you can go out there and have a passively run training camp and not play these guys in the preseason games and then think they're ready to elevate their tempo, their, you know, fitness level, everything that goes along with week one of the regular season. You got to make sure these guys are prepared. And if you're preparing out of fear rather than properly getting them ready for what the season is going to offer them, you know, you could have a slow start again. And you think of what happened to the Bears last year when they lost to Green Bay, they lost to Tampa, they lost to Kansas City. And I think they lost their fourth game as well. Yeah. But, I'm with you, Danny Mac. I hope that whether it's drills at training camp practices, you know, listen, if you don't play him in the Hall of Fame game, I'm okay with that, because I bet you DeMarco Ryans doesn't play very many of his starters in that game either. But if once you start getting some of those, you know, into week two or week three of the preseason, I need to see my guys play a half, go into the locker room, make halftime adjustments, come out and play a couple series in the third quarter, and then it's okay. You know, that's the thing about Ditka. Ditka played us the entire preseason, all four quarters every week. And we weren't wore out by the time the regular season got there. We just knew that the competition behind us was going to have a difficult time impressing the coaches because we were playing the whole games.
Tom Thayer has been doing Bears radio for 28 years. This year, again, for the second year, they're on ESPN 1000 out of Chicago. All right, for older Bears fans, and well, younger Bears fans first, so I don't lose the kids. Back to that commentary on great trades in Bears history. In the 21st century, and I've read several columns on this, I've seen some things get mentioned like the Jay Cutler trade as a top 10 in franchise history. He is the all-time leading passer, but he's 30th ranked among the 32 teams for passing yards with one team. The Brandon Marshall trade was mentioned. Two of his three seasons were terrific. All they gave up was a third-round pick. The Khalil Mack deal with the Raiders is mentioned. I'm iffy on that being a great trade. It was a one-hit wonder season, even though they did go to the playoffs in 2020. No one remembers that loss in New Orleans. Most of the top five, Tom, were my God, we're going back to the 60s. And even before that, Dick Butkus, first round pick out of Illinois. The Bears traded in 64, a second and fourth round pick with the Steelers to get him. Doug Atkins was mentioned. Sid Luckman was mentioned. It's like, man, I know trades haven't been a huge part of the NFL's way of doing business forever, but they don't have a great trade history. I think we all can agree.
Danny Mac, you can talk about any trade in the NFL that you want. If it doesn't lead to winning a division that leads you deep into the playoffs, the trade is worth nothing. And if you go all the way back to Sid Luckman, the second year in the history of the NFL draft, George Halas knew that he was going to have to sign some in-season trades with the Pittsburgh Steelers because they weren't going to have a chance to get Sid Luckman. So he went and made some behind-the-scenes type of deals with the Steelers, ended up getting Sid Luckman. In all reality, up until right now, that may be your most successful trade in the history of the Chicago Bears.
That says a lot. Where are you going to be on draft night? I imagine you have broadcast responsibilities.
Yes, Thursday night we're going to be at Soldier Field hosting a draft party, which is going to be super exciting because with the ninth pick in the draft, you know, with the announcement of the first pick in the draft, the crowd's going to go crazy. They have a really nice event there where you can go through the locker room, you can go down the field. They have gear that was worn by the Bears over the past that you can go there and buy for, you know, whatever you want. I actually got a towel with number 57 on it that got out of that. But, and then, you know, Friday will be at, you know, Halas or just following the phones and the just I'll be stuck to the draft. And then it concludes with a Sunday night TV show over at Fox with Jeff and Lou Canellis.
I want Fred Cato's underwear. I got dibs on that. Doug Buffone told me that story years ago. Fred was not a player. He was the trainer. And Doug once told me he used to walk around in the locker room naked. And I said, why would he do that? And Doug said, little buddy, you would too if you were Fred Cato. Tom, have a great time. Enjoy your 57 towel. And thanks a ton for the visit. I enjoyed it as always.
Yeah, me too, Danny Mac. Anytime.
Tom Thayer, a member of the 85 Bears, the Black and Blues Brothers. Every kid in Chicagoland had a poster on their bedroom walls. I want to thank my executive producer, Sam Michael. Everybody like Randy Merkin and Adam Delavitt from Bet Rivers, Troy Mocker and Alex Pastor. I'll be back again with more NFL pre-draft conversation early next week. Thanks for listening and watching on YouTube. I'm Danny Mac.
Thanks for listening to the Danny Mac Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.